Welcome back. For Rosie and Grace McHugh in our draw, from Mammy, who was singing here today. So I had a quick chat with you, Mammy, and she wanted to say a big hello to Rosie and Grace McHugh in our draw. I hope you're doing well, girls, indeed. Now, let me see. There was another one. Yes. Hello to Nash. How do you spell pronounce that name? Nisha, isn't it? No? Okay. Krona, Aoife, Fia and Cara. They're on the way to Letterkenny to the cinema. Happy Christmas. It's a beautiful name and I know it, but I just don't want to hatchet it, but I hope I haven't done that already. Now, to let you know, there's a carol service at Super Value Buncrana from 4pm to 7:30pm today. All proceeds are in aid of the Donegal Hospice, Letterkenny Hospital, Beech Hill Nursing Home, Nazareth House Nursing Home, Clonmany Nursing Home and Carn Hospital. There's a bucket at the door for donations. All right, our quiz is to come, but what isn't to come is bingo. We've got no bingo this week, by the way, just in case you were listening out for the numbers and you didn't hear them. We will resume Monday the 29th of December playing week one. And a big thank you, by the way, to all our bingo players. Happy Christmas, and we're looking forward to your continued support in 2026. That is Vision Island and the Highland Radio Bingo team. Of course, you playing bingo and winning hundreds of euro every week and potentially thousands as part of the jackpot is supporting Vision Ireland. Right now, Ross's Community School Choir is with us. Maeve, you've drawn the short straw to speak to me. Hello.
Hi.
You're in there somewhere. How are you keeping?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. You're all off school, so you have come in here especially to speak to us. Is that right?
Yeah, we went off on Thursday, but we're very excited to be here today.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's fantastic to have you with us. When was the last time you performed?
We performed last Monday at the Jim Rafferty concert in Kilcliny with the Ulster University Choir.
Oh, wow, fantastic. So we're really blessed to have you with us. Again, Zara McLaughlin-Murray is on hand as keyboard and player and teacher, of course. Thank you so much again, Zara. And I think we're going to hear first, is it Winter Song, Maeve?
Yeah, we're singing Winter Song by Sarah Bareilles.
Whenever you're ready, take it away.
Bum 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 bum. This is my winter song to you. The storm is coming soon. It rolls in from the sea. My voice a beacon in the night. My words will be your light to carry you.
Into
Oh, wow. Well done. That's really, really strong there. That's the Rosses Community School Choir. And that was Winter Song. May, if you're going to do another one for us, of course, aren't you?
Yeah, this one's called Christmas Lights. It's by Coldplay.
You've rehearsed three, haven't you? Or you're going to do three?
Yeah, we have.
So we'll do that in the order. Christmas Lights, then, a more contemporary Christmas song, but it's become part of the standard playset now, which is great. Okay, so this is the excellent Rosses Community School Choir, and this is their take on Coldplay's Christmas Lights.
Christmas light, another fight, tears we cried, a flood, got all kinds of poison in my blood. I took my feet to Oxford Street, trying to run. Believe she's gone. When you're still waiting for the snow to fall, it doesn't really feel like Christmas at all. Above of candles on air flicker, oh, they flicker and they float, but I'm up here holding on to all those shadows. For the snow to fall, it doesn't really feel like Christmas at all.
Excellent stuff. Do you ever see those TikTok, because I'm looking at the camera here, do you ever see those TikToks where everyone's singing and you have to figure out who's singing what part of the song? Is it the girl in the middle with the long scarf was doing the solo there? Yep. No?
She's doing the high desk
auntie,
Susan.
Okay. So, well, it was excellent anyway. And now she's going to sing completely a cappella, Golden, which we're really looking forward to. Right, actually, you know what? It's not far off it. Walking in the Air, this is another high one as well. Maeve, listen, and the crew, thank you so much for calling up to us. It's been absolutely wonderful. And again, Zara McLaughlin-Murray doing superb work on the keyboard. We really appreciate you taking a bit of your Christmas holiday time to come here and perform live for us. So finally, to wrap things up from the Rosses Community School Choir, this is their version of Walking in the Air.
Holding very tight. Children gaze open mouth, taken by surprise. Nobody down below believes their eyes. We're surfing in the air, we're swimming in the frozen sky. We're drifting
Thank you so much. Well done to all of you. That was amazing, wasn't it? That's the Rosses Community School Choir. We'll be back with more. In fact, we're going to be talking history, and it's musical history, with Dr. Joe Kelly after we take a break. Dr. Joe Kelly, yous are taking over today.
Yeah, well, it's a wonderful place, and just delighted. It warms my heart. It's a great advertising for teaching.
You've taught a lot of those young people there.
Yeah, every one of them.
Really, have you? Okay.
It's absolutely fabulous. And you mentioned, for example, Susan, the girl with the scarf you'd mentioned. Like, she had the lead part in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Truly Scrumptious.
Well, see, I was watching it and I was trying to figure out, and there was a couple of points of the song that I could see that she was doing the high bit, that were all supremely talented, though.
They are. There's a great music department in the school, in fairness, Zara and Joe Rogers, and just the talent is there.
Yeah, I think it's a sneaky enough thing, I think, music in the school, because it's firstly enjoyable, right? But then what it does is it teaches young people working with others a bit of confidence. You know, you can see people that maybe are a little bit timid in first year. Next thing, they're out front of stage in third or fourth year. And it's part of the, I think, I've said it before, so I'm not literally just saying this, but the unsung heroes, I think, in the county are teachers, of course. But I think the musical teachers that reach different children in different ways, I think they do amazing stuff.
But there's the flip of that as well. Mm. When you see them musically talented outside your curriculum subject, and you realise that the gift they have, and you just stand back and you're teaching this individual in another class setting, and you're going, wow, the talent you have somewhere else is to be admired. So you think of them differently then as you're teaching them, because you realise that there's qualities in them far beyond your subject, and it makes you reassess that whole thing. You know, so when those individuals there, the students that were singing this morning, their talent is just amazing. And when they get near a mic or a stage, you're just always in awe of their ability.
Yeah, and there's a confidence, but not an arrogance. It's hard to describe. They're wonderful, wonderful people. And we've had a fantastic reaction to them. Mary Jo, beautiful girls and boys, well done. Marie Boner, well done, everyone. Brilliant work there from Zara and all the choir members. Happy Christmas. Let me see. Best advice on grocery shopping. Remember, shops will reopen. No need for 10 types of cheese and weird sauces, etc. Stop being a party pooper. If I want a load of weird cheeses and sauces, I'm never going to go. The reason I'm saying that is because I was in Tesco yesterday and I bought about 8 sauces I probably won't need, and the cheese will probably be got today. But anyway, listen, thanks very much for that. So in keeping with the Christmas season, as we enter into the last days before Christmas, we're going to explore in our history slot with Dr. Joe Kelly, talking history, as I like to call it, but Caroline doesn't seem to really embrace that. The story of Cecil Francis Alexander, who lived in Donegal for a while and who composed one of the most well-known Christmas carols, Once in Royal David's City. So who was Cecil Francis Alexander, and do we know, what do we know about them and their youth? What were their influences, etc.? Well, Dr. Joe Kelly's in with us as well. So talk to us about Cecil Francis Alexander.
Well, first of all, I've been on now, I think this is maybe five or six times for Christmas, and we've different topics. We've done the characters of Christmas, we've done the meaning of the winter solstice and Newgrange, and I was scratching my head and saying, what could I talk about this year? Because we've nearly exhausted everything that I could. And I was at a funeral, or wake, should I say, Margaret McKinley, her husband Tommy had died, and she mentioned this woman, Francis, or Cecil Francis Alexander, and that she'd written once in Royal David City. So she put me onto this. So a shout out to Margaret for that important
blab. Would it be a good time now for us to familiarise ourselves with that?
So yeah, yourself,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is the piece of music that was written by Cecil Francis Alexander.
All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small.
It seems terrible to talk over it, but it is just about time. There's a couple of hymns that I think sort of cross over that are actually beautiful songs and very melodic and not obviously hymns in the first instance.
Yeah, well, and interestingly, like this is written by a woman of the Protestant tradition, and the theology is perfect, both Catholics, Protestants. It crosses all, you know, the Christian denominations. And so for that, she wrote them mostly for children about seven with the idea of catechism in mind. So they're wonderfully simple and wonderfully beautiful. She wrote over 400 hymns and poems.
Wow. So how did Cecil Francis end up in Donegal then?
Well, first of all, she was born in Dublin, and her father was in the army. You know, he was working in his life in his army, and then he came back to Wicklow, where he worked for the Marquess of Abcorn, or the Earl of Wicklow, he's better known, as a land agent for him. And the Wicklow seemed to have influenced Francis a terrible lot. They were good, really good people who had a high moral sense of, you know, doing for others and being good to others across all traditions. And that influenced Francis. And she was very friendly with their daughter, Harriet. And they grew up together, even though her father was the agent to the Earl. And they were very, very good to her. And it seemed to have shaped her a terrible lot. And so later on down the line, what we find is that there was a need for an agent, a land agent. They had quite extensive land in Derry and Donegal and Tyrone. And so he took up that post. And so he moved to Strabane. Mm. And it's that then, that's how she came to live here for the more or less the rest of her life, to the northwest between Derry, Donegal, Tyrone. That's where she came to live.
A prolific writer, though. So yeah. How many of her hymns came into sort of the mainstay?
If you look at the main Christian calendar, like the first one we talked about, Once in Royal David City, there's another one that...
Well, I haven't played... Sorry, yeah, we'll did get, I play the wrong one? I played the right one.
That, you can play that at the end. That's All Things Lovely, Bright and Beautiful is a very famous one.
That's hers as well.
Yeah, that's hers, yeah. And then there's one that's for Easter, There Is a Green Hill Far Away, believed to have been written in Fawn when she moved there. We're not 100% sure, but that's what we believe. And then there's a famous one for St. Patrick, and we'll maybe talk about that, is the Christ Be Beside Me. Many people would know that, Christ Be Before Me.
Well, let's have a little listen to that one, will we?
Yep.
I mean, everyone will recognise that. Did you say that was written for St. Patrick's Day?
Well, I'll tell you what. It came from an old manuscript written about the 11th century Liber Hymnorium, and it's probably the origins of the songs come from the 6th century and they'd been survived and then written down by the scribe. But there's two Donegal connections with that. The earliest hymns written about St. Patrick, St. Bridget and our own St. Columbkille are in that manuscript.
Right.
And funnily enough, the manuscript we believe was in Rosnaula, and Michael O'Clery, one of the four masters, took the manuscript with him to Louvain. So that's how it survived, and then it eventually arrived back in Ireland, and the chaplain in Dublin Castle had been aware of the manuscript and asked her would she write a translation, a hymn for this poem that was taken from the manuscript. It was written in Old Irish and in Latin, and so the version that we sing, or we know that version there, was her version. It was her English put to the Latin and the Old Irish. Yeah, so it's quite amazing. So there's a number of Donegal connections with that. Yeah.
So that's her interpretation of a very old piece.
Oh, very old. It's known as St. Patrick's Breastplate, you know, 3 in 1, 1 in 3. And again, what's wonderful about all this is it crosses theologically Catholics, Protestants, the Reformed tradition.
So just in relation to that, but so take us back to, you know, the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th century. When we talk about Christianity and Catholicism and being a Protestant, were the divisions, were people coexisting?
Well, basically St. Patrick was neither a Catholic nor a Protestant, if you're thinking it like that, because there was no Reformation until, you know, Martin Luther in 1521. So really we have a common heritage and a common tradition, and that belongs to all. And obviously this woman understood that very well. In fact, she was part of the Oxford movement, which would be John Henry Newman. He's a saint now, or doctor of the church. And they were Anglican, but they were high Anglican, and they were very, very close to the Catholic Church. Many of them then became Catholics. Mm. And later on, when she would marry her husband, Alexander, this is why she'd come to Fawn and come to parts of Donegal, because he was a Protestant minister, and he was obviously appointed to different places, and she travelled with him, obviously. And that's how she ended up in Fawn in 1855. But later he was appointed Bishop of Raphoe and Derry, and later on, after her death, as Primate of All Ireland. So he actually had been part of the Oxford movement.
So what was their life in that parish from then on then? So,
well, from the readings, and even the Irish Times many years later writing an article about Frances, talked about how kind and generous she was, and how she had a great sense of charity and otherness. And it wasn't about religion in the sense of Catholic or Protestant. If someone was in need, she was there. Which was an amazing thing. And there was one story that survived in near Castle Derrick, where they were posted, where one woman, she was dying, probably cancer, and she went out to visit her for 6 weeks to dress her, and she obviously was in pain. But that she attended to people outside her own community, so to speak, in that sense. So she was very well liked. In fact, she set up the deaf and dumb. She, herself and her sister and one or two others set up the first deaf and dumb school for this area, for the Northwest. Very progressive. She even set up like what would be considered today domestic violence and the beating of children. She set up a house for them.
So she really had a sense of what was going on and a desire to try and do whatever she might to help.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think this just was the humanity that was in her, and driven by the, you know, we come to at this time of year, the spirit of Christmas, and they talk about it, but it was clear that that spirit was in her every day of the week, the 365 days a year.
So they were married, was it, for 45, 55 years?
Yes.
They got married in 1850. Yeah. She passed in 1895. So 45 years of marriage. She predeceased her husband. He went on then to
become the primate and archbishop, and then primate of all Ireland. And he subsequently, when she had died, published another book of hers with all her, a kind of collection of all her poems and stories. Interestingly, another Donegal collection, he dedicated the wee church that's beside the walls, the Derry walls, St. Columba's Church. When it was restored, it was he that did that there. And as well, they had wasn't king at the time, the later King George, for dinner, and his wife. In Derry, when they were bishop, they came and had dinner and lunch with them. So she moved in high circles, but was very, very humble, and Very interesting. But she was very much a family woman, and she was asked to write a lot more poems and stories and hymns. And she says, look, I have to dedicate my life to my family as well.
So I often find when you bring people up like this, there obviously there's going to be people listening that understand this history, but I think for the masses they don't. They don't know necessarily where these hymns came from. And now to be able to identify them and connect them to a lady who not only lived in the Northwest, but actually contributed greatly to Northwest. Now, you're heralding her, celebrating her today. Is this lady, is she celebrated anywhere? You talked of her being originally from Dublin, OK, but this is someone who's... She really has her place in our history. Is she celebrated or referenced or a statue or something? There is where?
There's books written about her, number one. And number two, and it's maybe the fault of my own tradition, the Catholic tradition, that we don't maybe appreciate her hymns as much. But the Protestant tradition seems to sing more. And as I said, Mrs. McKinley had pointed out, and she was wanting to get me her prayer book where the song was in it, and she knew all it.
Yeah, but these songs are, I mean, I know all of these songs almost word for word from, you know, so,
listening to them,
And I'm obviously, I'm a Catholic, so they're
common and they're known to people, and some of them have been kind of made kind of pop. Some pop singers would sing them as well, which is quite.
What's your feelings about that?
And look, I think any way you reach people with lyrics are very powerful. And it's the lyrics that are important, and music changes with time, but the lyrics are always nearly the same, and the message all the same. I'm sure she'd be delighted.
And the funny thing is, often a message becomes, it's perceived as more relevant and less relevant in historical cycles. So in Talking History with Dr. Joe Kelly today, we're remembering Cecil Francis Alexander, who came to live in the Northwest region, to Farn in Donegal and in Derry, and was a prolific hymn writer and wrote... an awful lot of hymns, 300 or 400, in fact. Also, poetry.
Yes, she wrote poetry, but mostly religious poetry. Strumpy Bray was a famous one that she wrote, and Mark Twain used to always recite it.
So wow.
It's just amazing.
That's some...
compliment to
her. And are you going to read something from her or something else?
No, I'll read something else maybe.
You usually
ask me to do something.
Yes, exactly. I like you. Well, so do you... Shall we play out with another hymn associated with her after we do? Yeah. Yes, okay.
So
Go ahead then.
It's just maybe that, you know, you usually ask me to read something. So I was thinking maybe what would I read this year? And I'm thinking of, you know, we're jolly and happy and joyous, and we had the children in there singing earlier on. But for some, it's a difficult time if they've lost someone. And I want to dedicate this poem that I'm going to read to them, and particularly anybody that's lost someone. This is their first Christmas without them. That absence, that sense of loss and pain and disappointment. But maybe in the reading of this poem, they might find some solace and some, dare I say, joy even. Just to wish yourself, Greg, and Caroline and all the team and those listening in Highland Radio a happy and peaceful Christmas wherever they are. So here we go. My first Christmas in heaven. And this is for those that have lost someone this year. At their table this year, there'll be a space. I see the countless Christmas trees around the world below, with tiny lights like heaven stars reflecting on the snow. The sight is so spectacular, please wipe away the tear, for I'm spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I hear the many Christmas songs that people hold so dear, but the sounds of music can't compare with the Christmas choir up here. I have no words to tell you the joy their voices bring, for it's beyond description to hear the angels sing. I know how much you miss me. I see the pain inside your heart, but I am not so far away. We really aren't apart. So be happy for me, dear ones. You know I hold you dear, and be glad I'm spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I sent you each a special gift from my heavenly home above. I sent you each a memory of my undying love. After all, love is a gift more precious than pure gold. It was always the most important in the stories Jesus told. Please love and keep each other as my Father said to do, for I cannot count the blessings of love he has for each of you. So have a Merry Christmas. And wipe away that tear. Remember, I'm spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year.
Indeed. Lovely, Joe. Thanks for that. And it is I remember, you know, whenever we all deal with loss and what have you. And well, I'll tell you, the easiest way is for me, if I were to go, I would love everyone around me to know that I don't want them to. I want them to miss me, of course, but I don't want it to hinder their happiness or their enjoyment. And the greatest gift anyone close to me could do, if I were to go, is to be as happy and as full of joy and celebration as they possibly can be. Joe, we're going to finish with Once in Royal David City. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's it.
So who's singing this? And this is another fantastic song, isn't it? From Francis Alexander.
Yeah, and it's Daniel O'Donnell, no better man. And it's lovely to have the Donegal connection again.
Dr. Joe, thank you for all your contributions over the year. Primarily, of course, you know, through talking history, but also, you know, in our political commentary, and also, you know, an opportunity for you sometimes to express what you're feeling about certain things. It's always a pleasure. And our listeners always, they might not always agree, but I know they always enjoy. So thank you very much for your time. We've got more to come on the programme. Thanks again, Dr. Joe Kelly. But this is Once in Royal David City.
Once in Royal David City stood a lowly cattle shed, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. Mary was that mother mild, Jesus Christ her little child. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all, and his shelter was a stable, and his cradle was a stall.
Mostly cloudy day today, Tuesday, and largely dry with just some patchy light rain and drizzle at times. Overnight, mist and fog will be slow to clear in the morning, with limited bright spells developing through the day. Highest temperatures of 7 to 10 degrees, but we have our own ray of sunshine has waltzed into the studio here in the form of Sarah Arnold from Inver. South Donegal, West Donegal were taken over today. It's great, isn't it? Fantastic.
Yeah.
Sarah, you're a published musician. You've released music, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Happy Christmas, my dear. Did you release that this year?
Yes, I just released it there on the 5th of December this year. I recorded it back in October. And yeah, it's been going great so far. It's been, yeah.
So that's originally written by Mike Rosenberg. How do we know him beyond that song?
So he's better known as the stage name Passenger for Let Her Go, would have been his big hit. But he's a big folk influence of mine, and I love his songwriting and his melodies. So when I heard the song, he released it back in 2020 during COVID, and I just decided then to sort of put my own spin on it. And it's something a little different from your conventional Christmas songs as well, which I think is a nice addition at this time of year.
Yeah, for sure. And your musical career is a balancing act, isn't it? Because I know you're really passionate about the music, but also obviously we have to pay the bills, don't we, right? So you are a pharmacist by day, right?
Yes.
Where do you work?
I'm a locum pharmacist, so I work all over the Northwest covering for holidays and
for annual leave and sick days and
that's
stuff.
That's cool, isn't it?
So yeah, mix it up.
You meet loads of different people. I mean, obviously it's a small county, so eventually you're gonna be kind of feel familiar wherever you go.
Yes.
But you do that mostly around Donegal, the locum.
Depends. So I actually qualified out of Ulster University in Coleraine. So I would have worked for a long time there full time in Northern Ireland and only recently started to take up some shifts and days down south as well.
Nice,
so
okay. It's
nice to get back into the locality and yeah.
Right, so do you want to play something in the orange first or would you prefer to go with Happy Christmas, My Dear, the song that you've released?
I'll go with Happy Christmas, My Dear, to start it off with, yeah.
See the Christmas lights beneath the evening sky. Hear the Christmas songs for the millionth time. Feel the whiskey burn and the smoke in our eyes. In a hole in your heart this Christmas time. I hope you find what you're searching for. A welcome hearth in an open door. For maybe sometimes less is more. Happy Christmas, my dear. See the winter sun upon the morning frost. See the battles won and the wars you've lost. See the price you've paid. Feel the cost of a hole in your heart this Christmas time. I hope you find the right road to take and seldom dwell upon honest mistakes. I hope you're happy with the choices you make. Happy Christmas, my dear. On the hillside should go, but the brightest star in the sky will always show your way back home. I hope you're well and I hope you're fine. I hope your ships come in and your stars align. I hope the best for you all of the time. Christmas, my dear. Happy Christmas, my dear.
Oh, well done, Sarah. That's lovely.
Thank you. Where
can people hear you live if you can manage to squeeze that in?
I try my best to join in for sessions around the locality, especially in the corner house in Ardraa. Especially during the summertime.
Yeah, it's really cool in there in the summer.
Yeah, great
and
live music and festivals down there.
You use some of your time as well too to try and help charities as well.
Yeah, so I've been involved for the last 2 years with the All-Ireland GAA Golf Challenge. It's a charity event that's run in Killarney, based in the Killarney Golf and Fishing Club. And they raise money for sort of families that have gone through tough times or maybe had different things that have happened to them. So this year, one of the main beneficiaries was Fela O'Sullivan, who had the terrible farming accident down in West Cork. So,
And Cancer Care West has been a beneficiary
as well. Over the weekend there, I was involved with a carol service in Frost's Church for Cancer Care West. So,
lovely.
I like to incorporate a bit of that into
it. Of course. Yeah. All right. Listen, you're going to sing one more for us, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Something in the Orange. Talk to me a little bit about this one.
So, Something in the Orange, it was the second song I released this year back in May time. And it's my take on a country pop song of current from Zach Bryan. So it was sort of the first one that sort of was my own take on a more popular song. Mm. I first did the Kerosene Light back in February, and it was sort of more of a low-key folk song, but then I went with Something in the Orange then as my second one. So.
Brilliant. Looking forward to this, actually, to see what you do with it. All right, from Inver, Sarah Arnold, and this is her take on Something in the Orange.
It'll be fine, but just slide, I'm telling you, baby. These things eat at your bones and drive your young mind crazy. But when you place your head between my collar and jaw, I don't know much, but there's no way that. And I'm damned if I do, and I'm damned if I don't. 'Cause if I say I miss you, I know that you won't. And I miss you in the mornings when I see the sun. Something the orange tells me we're not. Just a man to me, you're all I am. Where the hell am I supposed to go? I've poisoned myself again. Something in the orange tells me that you're never coming home. And if you leave today, I'll just stare at the way the orange touches all things around. The grass, trees and dew, how I just hate you. Turn those headlights around. I need to hear you say you've been waiting all night. There's orange dancing in your eyes from bulb light. And your voice only trembles when you try to speak. Take me back to us dancing, this wood used to creak. To you're just a man, to me you're all I am. Where the hell am I supposed to go? I've poisoned myself again. Something in the orange tells me that you're never coming home. And if you leave today, I'll just stare at the way orange touches all things around. The grass, trees and dew, how I just hate you. Please turn those headlights around. Please turn those headlights around. You're never coming home. And if you leave today, I'll just stare at the way the orange touches all things around. The grass, trees and dew, how I just hate you. Please turn those headlights around. Please turn those headlights around. Please turn those headlights around.
Well done, Sarah. That's her version of Something in the Orange. Sarah, where can people check you out online or where you've released your music, etc.?
Yeah, so music is across all streaming platforms. You'll find me on YouTube and Instagram as well, Spotify. Yeah, really
everywhere
anywhere you get
you'd
your music.
Expect to find you. Yeah. That's good. That's cool. Thanks so much indeed, Sarah Arnold there. Now, Unfortunately, we don't have time for our music competition today, but your time has not been wasted because we're going to roll it over to tomorrow. So we're going to pick a group of people that entered today and include them tomorrow when we have a little bit more time. So you haven't wasted your time. You haven't missed out. We're just going to have to defer it by just short of 24 hours. Come back tomorrow as well anyway, because we've got another 3 hours of fantastic Christmas entertainment for you. We're also going to be giving away a car worth over €35,000, which isn't too bad either. That's all on Tuesday's 9 till noon show. But for me, Greg Hughes, and the team, researcher and producer Caroline Orr and Shannon Wilkin, who works very hard on the show as well, have a great Tuesday. Stay safe and stay tuned, and have a great Monday, actually. We'll have a great Tuesday tomorrow. Stay safe and stay tuned. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning from 9.